I started last week just to say we've got a few weeks before Paul and Laura arrive to share the ministry and to add to the service of our community here at Shirley Baptist. And I wanted to start preparing the way for them to come through this little series that I've called Envision. And so we started last week by looking at the Great Commandment. Because if we're going to serve others best, we've got to love God the most. Amen? So that's what we spent a little bit of time on last week. And this week, we're going to continue to envision, to imagine the possibilities. That's what envision means. Imagine the possibilities of what's possible when we've got a heart to serve the Lord and a passion to follow Him. And we're going to follow the Great Commandment today with the great commitment to serve others daily. We need to be servant-minded, servant-hearted, and to be true followers of Christ. Why? Because as we've linked the whole series together, a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission makes for what? A great church. And the church is the bride of Christ. And why wouldn't the bride of Christ want to look its most lovely and its most beautiful for the one who's given himself fully for her? You know, we want a great church, don't we? Not for our glory, but for his. And we want to fulfill a great service in this community for the same reason. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Milton Jones. Milton Jones is a Christian and he's also a comedian. Imagine the two things going together. I know a few Christians who are comedians, but they don't realize it. Milton Jones is a comedian, and he's also a Christian. And he says this. He says, if you were to Google the phrase, lost medieval servant boy, then the results will simply reveal that this page cannot be found. I like that. I like that. You think about it, and it'll come to you over lunch. But it's not medieval servant boys that we're looking for today. But rather we're looking for those in the here and now who are wanting to stand out for God and be seen as great in his eyes by being willing to stand down from self and to serve the needs of others. To put it in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. I guess if you were to ask the banking sector the secret to greatness, probably you'll get the reply, it's money. If you were to ask the secret of greatness to Parliament, you'd likely get the answer is power or political clout. And for sure, if you were to go and speak to those on the X Factor line or the Britain's Got Talent line and ask them what that secret to greatness is, they probably would tell you, it's fame. We want to be famous. But Jesus, the greatest man who ever lived, says in total and complete contrast to that, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. It's a sad thing, isn't it, that we live in a world that measures greatness and defines greatness in terms of power and possessions and prestige and position. So if you can demand service from others, you've arrived. If you're in authority and power over others, you've made it. But in our me first culture, though acting like a servant is not popular, Jesus measures greatness in the kingdom of God by it. So those that would go high must first become low. And as low as we go in our service for the Lord in seeking to bless others through it, let us never forget that the highest went lower still. Amen. What a God we have, and what a Lord we serve. Somebody put it this way, serving God through serving others, that is greatness. And I think the natural overflow of a heart that fully loves God is also hands that are prepared to get dirty to begin to meet the needs of those around and about them. So the question is, are we more interested in being served or in being a servant? Do we come to have our needs met? Or are we here to seek the Lord as to how better to meet the needs of those around us? Because one of the blessings that comes to those with a servant heart is that as you get on and meet the needs of others, your Heavenly Father supremely will meet your own. Some of the reason, you know, we struggle in what we're going through and we haven't got what we think we do need is because we're more taken up with the need than we are with the need around us. Get on and bless others, and I promise you, the Lord will bless you. Jesus walked the road of sacrifice and servanthood, and those who follow him must walk it too. But you know my problem with that? It's easier to admire Jesus than to follow him. You ever found that? It's easier to sing to Jesus than to serve him. It's easier to learn about Jesus than to live like him. And you know why? Because he takes us to places that our pride does not want to be taken to. You ever discovered that? Remember that teacher of the reception class who asked her class what they did to help out at home? And then she got all the answers that you'd expect. Well, I wash the dishes, I weed the garden, I tidy my bedroom. But I always admire the honesty of the little boy who said, "Do you know what I do to help out most? I just stay out of the way." And there are times, aren't there, when the best service we can give is to stay out of the way. But if we all stayed out of the way all the time, there wouldn't be any need being met, would there? So we need to understand what the Lord is saying to us through this great commitment. That's what I call it. To become great. Not by serving me, but by serving him. So let me just underline three quick things here as we look through these couple of verses. First of all, I think it's true to say that God expects me to serve others. Twice in the verses that we read, the emphasis is put on the word must. You must be a servant. You must be a slave. I mean, that's a kind of job title you're looking for, isn't it? How many of you have ever been looking for a job? And the first thing, I'm going to opportunities that are offered. Oh, look, there's a job for a servant. That's me. You know, don't look at the pay. Don't look at the conditions. It's servant. It's slave. Because if you're a servant and a slave, conditions don't matter. Just do as you're told. And you obey. I mean, people are lining up for those kind of jobs, aren't they? Hey? No unemployment queue there. Not. And why does Jesus say this? Because he's speaking in the context, as Brenda said, of his two disciples who come to him. Luke and Mark point this out too, but Matthew's the only one who says that they come with their mother. They want to know who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, but they're wimps. They come with their mum. You ask him, Mum. You find out. Isn't that great? And they're brave boys, James and John. Mummy's going to come with us. Mummy's going to ask for us. And what do they want to know about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Hey, that's how they come. And you know, when the other disciples heard what they'd asked Jesus, the audacious nature of it, they were miffed, indignant. Why? I think because they hadn't thought of it first. I think that's what really kind of miffed them, you know. But the great thing is, when the Lord Jesus gets the question, he doesn't condemn them for their ambition. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? You know, I think as followers of Christ, we ought to be ambitious. God forbid us, forgive us for the lack of ambition that we sometimes have. To dare to think that my story can relate to somebody at work and God can transform their lives just through what he's done through me. But I got no ambition to talk about it. No ambition to share it. You know, I don't think God ever wants us to lack ambition, because we've got a God who can go above and beyond our ambition and do things that we can't even ask or imagine are possible for him to do. That is, it's not ambition that Jesus knocks, because ambition is not a sin when you register it under the desire to give glory to God. So what Jesus responds to here and corrects is not what they're asking for, because if you don't ask, you don't get. No, it's their focus. They were wanting to muscle their way into positions of honor and power and greatness. And Jesus tells them that that kind of authority only comes to those who get down and bow to the knee of true service. Let's not lack ambition, but let's remember that God expects us to serve and to be as servant-minded, to be as servant-hearted and as active as the Lord Jesus himself was, who did not come, we're told, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It may not cost many of us our lives to serve God through serving others. That may not be the cup that we've got to drink. It was for the Lord Jesus. But I don't think we can call it a great commitment, can we? When we're offered such a privilege to serve the Lord and to neglect to understand that it's bound to come at some price, isn't it? But if we focus on the price, we miss the joy of the privilege. That's why we have to envision it. Envision what is possible. When we're ambitious for the Lord and prepared to do whatever it takes to serve the needs of those around and about us. God expects us to serve. I love what Martin Luther King Jr. said just before he was assassinated back in 1968. He said the first question which the priest and the Levite asked in the parable of the Good Samaritan was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reversed the question to ask, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? Isn't that good? God expects us to serve. Our reach needs to be wide. I was listening to a testimony. I don't know if you've ever seen this man. Have you ever seen this chap? No, none of you? Yeah, Katrina. This chap is James, or Jay Lusted. He's 3 feet 7 inches tall. He started out in panto. You never guess what pantomime he was in. But the Lord touched his heart through a testimony of one of the other dwarfs that were in pantomime with him. And he became a Christian. And he went over to Hillsong in Australia to be schooled in the things of God and in the Word of God. And he came back to this country and he started to present television programs, educational ones, on Welsh television because he comes from North Wales. Beautiful. He met his wife while he was carrying the torch across Wales for the 2012 London Olympics. And they married last year. There's a picture of him on his wedding day. It's lovely, isn't it? It's great. And I was listening to his testimony, and once he'd given it, somebody said of him, you know, that he was a marvellous example. But his ambition, and let me quote him, because I made a note of it. He said, my ambition is to be great in serving, so that even with arms as short as mine are, my reach for the kingdom of God will be vast. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know what his wingspan is. But at 3 foot 7 inches, I don't think it's physically very large to you. And yet now through his presenting, now through his entertaining pantomime, he still does pantomime, through his preaching, and he's last year, this is why he made the news, he's become the smallest councillor in the United Kingdom. He's now a councillor in Conwy, North Wales. That's why he made the news. Through whatever he is doing, his heart to serve is obvious, and though physically his reach is very limited, spiritually, it's vast. I mean, it just moves me, doesn't it you? You know, sometimes we think, oh, we can't do very much. We're very small in the eyes of other people. We're very limited in terms of the gifts that we've got to really do anything about what we see. But Lord, if the ambition of heart is there, God extends our reach above and beyond anything that we might believe is possible. So let's not knock the ambition, but let's understand that to serve is something God expects us to do. Paul says to the Romans, now you belong to Jesus in order that you might be useful in the service of God. I love that. You want to be useful in the service of God. Oh, it's great to be useful in the home, isn't it? Great to be useful in the church. Great to be useful in the community. But if we can bring it in to be useful to God, oh, the reach is above and beyond anything that we might think is possible. And that takes great humility. Somebody sent me this through. I don't know if they were getting at me or not, but it, I love it when people send me things through and they leave no comment. They just leave it to my mind to work out what it is I think they're trying to say. But this says, Pastor William F. Smith III, BA, THD, MDiv, PhD, DD, DLit, and your humble servant. We need a humility of mind to be able to serve like the Lord. And yet the Lord expects us to help. We may not always feel that we've got the kind of gifting to help, or the means to do it, or that we're shaped in a certain way for certain needs that are there around and about us. But sometimes the Lord goes even beyond that, doesn't he? So if you see somebody fall down in the street, you don't think, oh, I haven't got the gift of service and ministry. No, you go and do it. You go and do it. Do you think the level of the expectation the Lord has for us is too high? I hope not. Secondly, God equips me to serve others. It's a beautiful thing that hits home to me here in what I read in this particular phrase, where Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now you tell me, who but Jesus was equipped to pay the price of sin? Who but Jesus had it within their gift to save us? Who but Jesus could fulfill the law and break its curse? No one. And because he was equipped to do it, he did it. And you understand my point? God equips us to serve others. Not in the same way that Jesus served us, but nonetheless we're equipped for what it is he's made us and shaped us to be. You can meet needs I can't, and vice versa. But we're equipped to do it. And what's our verse for the year been telling us? All year, 27. That it's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who lives where? Who lives in me. Gifting me, equipping me to serve the needs that God has put around and about me specifically. I can't answer for you, you can't answer for me, but we will answer before the Lord. We feel equipped. It's a wonderful thing. You know, God never wastes anything, does he? That spiritual gift that we have if we're a believer, you've all got one, that natural ability that he can add to. You know, why did God give all those things to us? So that we could use them to serve others and to bless them. Back to Romans, Paul says again, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Hey? Certain things. Certain things well. More, I think, than sometimes we realize. And why are those gifts given? Not predominantly for our enjoyment, but for our employment. We use them. My Doris's birthday tomorrow. I always remember Doris's birthday, not just because she's 104. And it's great to have a youth leader 104, isn't it? You know? Not just because she's 104, but because she shares the same birthday as my daughter. There's a few years difference, but she shares the same birthday. And I'm still one of those dads, you know, when I see presents given to those that I love to watch them open them, don't you? It's one of the things that we do in our house. You know, they're coming this afternoon, although it's her birthday tomorrow, all the family gather together today, and we'll watch her open her presents. I find it really exciting to see people open presents and gifts, don't you? Yes, Sean, you do. I can see you're really, really excited by that. But if the present or gift is never open, then what worth and value does the gift have? We don't open and use what God has gifted us with. What's the point of it? Where's the value to it? Where's the worth in it? But he has equipped us. Trouble is that I don't know about you, I find there's barriers to break through in order to get to the point of opening those gifts and using them. Did anybody here, I know, Brenda, it wasn't safe and it's not safe, but did anybody here ever fly on Concorde? Anybody? No, but not one person. I'd love to have flown on Concorde, wouldn't you? No, you're not. I can see. I would have loved it. I would have loved to. Do you know why? Because it was supersonic. I mean, there were times, because we lived near Herne Airport in Bournemouth, there were times when Concorde actually came into Herne, funnily enough, and we heard that sonic boom once in a while. I mean, just to hear the boom was exciting enough. Yeah, I know. Get a life, Sean. I understand that. I know. That was it. But imagine being on Concorde and breaking through the sound barrier. I mean, that is one barrier to break through, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I should have checked it out. But I think it was Chuck Yeager back in 1948 who was the first man to break the sound barrier. But what a barrier to break through. What a feat of engineering. Aviation engineering. To make and create an aeroplane that could go faster than sound. Just imagine if I could preach supersonically. Hey? You'd be getting the message long before I got it. Hey? Wouldn't that be great? And yet, as amazing as it is to break the sound barrier, I was thinking, you know, there are more things amazing than that in the Christian life if we're going to be equipped to fulfill our calling to serve others that I think are more difficult to break. I thought of a few, but you can go home and think, what about breaking the hurt barrier? When we're so upset by what someone has said or someone has done that we can't think of anything else or anyone else but us and how we're wounded we are. Now, if we can't break that barrier, who are we going to serve? Hey, what about the forgiveness barrier? You know, can we break that barrier? Or are we so locked up in the prison of our resentment and bitterness that we're just not free enough to be a slave to Jesus Christ? Once I had a really good book about forgiveness, and I lent it to a friend and they lost it. They're not my friend anymore. Isn't that a difficult one? What about breaking the betrayal barrier? Isn't that another barrier that's hard to get through if we really want to be equipped to serve God by serving others? That we can actually think that because of what we've done in the past to help others and that we've got no blessing from it, no thanks for it, we think God has betrayed us. And we think, what on earth's the point? Once bitten, twice shy. That's a difficult barrier to break down, isn't it? But it's one that we need to go through. If we're to fulfill the call, what we're equipped for in Christ, to serve others. Not because it's a duty, but because we love him fully and it becomes our delight to take on that great commitment. But I find those difficult barriers to break through. I think the sound barrier is a piece of cake in comparison. What about that barrier of the martyr spirit? Where we think that nobody sees what we're doing and think, oh, the only person who's working around here is me. If only everybody knew what it costs for me to serve in the way that I do it. And we turn what we do into that kind of martyr spirit. As though God doesn't see. And God doesn't promise one day to give us the reward. It doesn't matter whether anybody else sees what we do. Anybody else knows what we do. He takes note of it. That's good enough, isn't it? But I tell you what, it's a difficult barrier to break through. Unless you've got a heart to love God fully. I struggle with those things at times, don't you? I mean, you're more spiritual than I am, but I'm just laying out my own heart. In that sense, actions always speak louder than words. I can definitely say I love my wife, but as she knows, sometimes that love is best expressed through service. And she looks forward to the day when the Lord really lays that on my heart. But who are we following? Following Jesus. He's our example. And when it comes to service, what do we read in Romans 5:8? We know it very well. God demonstrates. God shows us. God puts into action his love for us in this, that whilst we were still sinners, we were at the point of our greatest need. Christ died for us. And we follow him because he expects us to serve others. We follow him because he equips us to serve others, because as we serve others, we're serving him. And we follow him because I think, last of all, God enjoys me serving others. God has set up our life to serve others. Parents have to learn with a baby's first cry that service just became a full-time job. And all the mums and dads went, amen. Unless you read the Cowboy Bible, in which case you go, yee-haw. But either way, isn't that true? I think it is. The reason people go to college and get degrees is to become an expert in some field. Why? To serve others. It's right, isn't it? Even politicians like to call what they do public service. So if we love God and he expects us to serve others, if we love God and he equips us to serve others, then we can be absolutely certain that as we serve him in that way, he enjoys us serving others. That's why in calling the disciples together to talk about what it means to be great, he tells them in verse 25, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. That's not the way to greatness. That's not the way to put a smile on my face. That's not the way to bring glory to my name. That's not the way to please me. You get down to the level of being a servant. That's when you put a smile on God's face. And it's a wonderful thing to put a smile on the face of your Heavenly Father. Hey, you remember when you were young, bringing a picture home from school to put a smile on the face of your mother? Until she said, what is it? And you said, it's you, Mummy. How can a mummy not recognize herself? Hey, you tell me. You know? Or when you're out there, you remember making a daisy chain to put around your mum's neck? Wasn't that better to mum than a pearl necklace? Wasn't it? And wasn't it worth all the effort and the time and the hassle and the fiddliness of it all to see the smile on mum's face when you brought it? And heard that love, oh, well done. Aren't we looking forward to that day when we stand before the Lord because he's gifted us and equipped us and expects us to serve him in this world? When we don't just bring the talents he's given to us and lay them at his feet, we've got the heart of the servant who comes and say, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. See, I love that word. It's written in the English, see, but in the Greek it means with great joyfulness. See, not only have I got the 5 you first gave me, but I've added to it 5 more. And the same with 2 talents. And the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. I bet he was smiling. Don't you think so? Because I think the Lord enjoys us when we serve him. And I think we enjoy him when we serve him. That's why I almost feel like it's not a command. It is simply something I can command. I want you to enjoy your Christian life. I want you to get the most from your Christian life. I hope you understand enough about me to know that I'm not battering you here to try and get you to do something you don't want to do. I'm here because I want God to bless you to the fullest measure that he's able to bless you. And it comes because he expects you to serve, he equips you to serve, and he enjoys it when you serve. Not because you've got a vice-hold grip on those who are working under you, but because you're prepared to go as low as you need to help those who might not even find life itself without you. And in about time, we did something of that. And why do we do it? For ourselves? No, for him. We do it all for him. Time's nearly gone. I like watching the odd football match. And when you go to St. Mary's, you do watch an odd football match. But what I've noticed in the games that I've seen is in recent days, people celebrating in 2 different ways on the whole. I mean, this is a general rule, you know, so don't go watching the match this afternoon and think, well, Sean got it wrong. General rule. But I've noticed that when somebody scores a goal, there's two ways that they celebrate today. Some of them run off as fast as they can, back towards the pitch, doing this. Patting their team badge. I play for this. Have you seen this, any of you? I play for this team. Team is more important. There's others who score a goal. They start running off backwards, going like this. Have any of you seen this? What are they pointing to? Their own name. Their own name. You know, well, if I can put it like this, you know, when God blesses you, you know, and he will bless you, if, you know, because he expects you to serve, he equips you to serve, he enjoys it when you serve, so you're going to get on and serve. But when God blesses you in doing so, don't go running off, you know, like this. Sweeney, there you go. Humble servant. Good job, I'm big and get it all on the back of the shirt. No, don't run off like that. Run off like this. Because it doesn't matter two hoots who gets the credit. As long as there's a team we know together, as a body of his people, he gets the glory. Amen? You ever asked a little boy or girl what they're going to be when they grow up? And some say, oh, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. I asked a little boy in the Wednesday club just before the end of term what he wanted to be when he grew up. You know what he said to me? He said, I'm going to be a dustbin man. I said, why do you want to be a dustbin man? He says, because I can get really dirty. I love that. I get real dirty. Well, if I can turn that on the head as we close, I think, imagine the Lord asking the Lord Jesus, what do you want me to be, Lord Jesus, when I grow up, when I mature, as I better and more daily reflect your likeness in me? I genuinely believe with all my heart that's what he'll say. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Amen? Amen. It's a joy. It's a joy to serve. Time has gone. We're going to sing one song. Before we sing that song, here very quickly, just five little questions as a little quiz for you to take home. All right? You've heard the message, right? It's gone in there. I pray it won't come out there. This is just to help you before we sing our final song. Only you can assess it. I've worked these questions out according to my own insecurities and inadequacies. You take it to your heart. See how you might assess it in your own life. If you want to be a servant of God. If you want to be a servant of God, and you just want to veg out for a while, but there's a gnawing need in your ministry or your life that you can help with, what do? Do you veg out or do you dig in? If you have a choice, second question, between protecting yourself from possible rejection and standing up for the honour of Christ, what do? If the roll of toilet paper is almost empty, do you change the roll or leave one square behind so the next person has got to change it? What do? If there are two pieces of pie left to eat, do you take the big one or the little one? And if you can duck out quietly or stay and help with a project, what do? Duck out or stay? I answer those, you answer those. Perhaps they just underline the level of expectation God's got, the equipping that he's done, but most of all, the enjoyment that he gets. When to become great. Don't lack ambition. Oh, I want you to become great. But in becoming great, you can get small enough to be a servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the joy and hope of it. That, Lord, actually to be your servant is as high as we can go in this world. And we bless you for the privilege. And you know, Lord, today, because I've struggled with it, and we all do at times, you know the barriers that sometimes we got to break through. Sometimes, Lord, that barrier can be something as simple as just me wanting to be more spiritual. Me wanting to be so deep with you that I'm blind to the needs around you. So it really doesn't serve a lot of purpose anyway. But Lord, whatever those barriers are, help us today in the power of your Holy Spirit to break through them, just as Jesus broke through the chains and barriers of death to bring life to us. May we be free enough to be a slave so that our homes, our church, our community, our place of work, our school, that unemployment queue, wherever we are, Lord, can get the blessing of it. In Jesus' name, amen.